So during some of our evening sits during this session, we're going to be treated to what we call encouragement talks from some of our senior students. Tonight, we're going to hear a talk from Kate Hartland, who is now a Dharma holder in Baomasui Zen, having received transmission from Josh earlier this year. So take it away, Kate.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'm going to tell you about a dilemma that I had this week that continues, actually. Maybe we'll find help for it. Can everyone hear me in the back?
Yes?
Okay. So I'm rather passionate about gardening. I spend my days at work in a lab trying to kill things. Microorganisms, cancer cells, hepatitis virus, all kinds of things that we decide might be better, we'd be better off without. And so when I get home in the evening, I'm really glad to just walk around the garden for a bit, where the effort is to grow things and to let them thrive and enjoy their beauty. When we bought our property 4 years ago, the backyard was pretty much of a blank canvas, just grass and one Norway maple all the way at the very back of the property. I could pretty much do what I wanted with it, and I began to do that. So over the 4 years, quite a lot of it has filled in with plants, and it has excellent soil, so I'm happy to say that it's come along very nicely. So this past week, when I got home, I began my walk around, greeting my various leafy friends, seeing how they were doing. And as I went past the veggie garden, I noticed that somebody had picked a lot of the Swiss chard. I made a mental note to speak to the rest of the family about this, to perhaps be a little more gentle. And then I noticed that also the cantaloupe vines had been trimmed, and oh dear, the beans. And I thought, oh, there must be a bunny, or maybe even two. So I continued walking back to the garden bench under that one Norway maple, and I passed the shed and noticed that there was a hole excavated from under the shed. And this was not a hole excavated by a bunny. This looked more like a hole that would be made by a rodent of unusual size, also known as a groundhog. And sure enough, the next day I sighted the groundhog, the dread beast, waddling across the yard, stuffed with my vegetables and headed for the flowers and bushes. So undaunted, having sparred with these creatures in the past, although not here, I pulled out the live trap. It's a gigantic trap. Works every time. So I put the bait in the trap and set it up close to where that excavated hole was. And before long, I caught a squirrel. And the squirrel ate the bait before I was able to let him out. And I let him go. And he figured, easy lunch. So I set the trap again with more bait. And I caught a squirrel. This was not going to do, because it took me a while to realize that there was a squirrel in there, and meantime, the groundhog was going about his merry way, and it might take quite a while to catch him this way. I didn't really have a chance to try again, because then it was Sesshin. So there's a whole week during which havoc can be wreaked. If you know anything about groundhogs, they're in the garden, they're sort of a cross between a lawnmower and a bulldozer. They will just flatten everything. They love to eat. Sort of a teeth and a digestive system. So I was contemplating this before I came here on Friday evening. What could be done? And I was seeing all my wonderful plans for the garden my dream for how it would look this year and then the next and then the next, beginning to change. It's interesting how things go in cycles, how order is built up. We find a way of doing things, of living, of whatever, putting things into order. And it continues like that for a while until some small variable changes and everything shifts and that whole situation falls apart. And then a new order becomes established. I've noticed that this is how things go through life. And it seemed to be the way that it was going to go for my garden, that I had created an order that suited me, but there was a changed variable, and perhaps it would fall apart. I did not like this. So it occurs to me that there are many forms that groundhogs take in our lives as they rampage through, having their way. Sometimes they look like potholes in the road waiting for our bike. Sometimes they look like a spouse leaving us with children and a mortgage. Sometimes groundhogs are missiles coming from across a foreign border. Sometimes they're a bad diagnosis. So many ways that groundhogs can appear, even here in Sashim, maybe especially here in Sashim. I've found myself jousting with groundhogs as I sit on this side of the teacher-student divide. My dream there had always, well, not always, but if there was one, it was that there would be all this wisdom that would be flowing forth from me as I sat here. And I find now that it's just the same old me. Not at all according to plan. So as I was considering the groundhog situation, I found that there was a certain shift that came about in my thinking, in my viewing of it, that perhaps this dream was not going to turn out as I had originally dreamed it, that I might have to let it go, that I might not know what lay ahead for this garden. And I wondered if that wasn't a source of difficulty or pain for so many of our dreams, that we formulate them and imagine how things should be, what would be the best way for them to be, and then they kind of solidify into that, and it has to be that way, or there's trouble. I wonder if it's possible to loosen up the hold on those dreams just a bit, whatever they might be. Pierce, during our Dharma dialogue, said something about letting it be, not just letting it go, but letting it be. The dreams are sure to arise of how we would like things to be, and it's not necessary to make them go, but to recognize that they are simply something that we made up and then clung on to, and that we don't have to hold on so tightly. And I was thinking about what it would be like not to have a dream of how things should turn out. Paul, in his lovely little mini Dharma talk, said something about bravery, about how brave we all are. And I agree. I think it would take some bravery to let go of those dreams. They're a kind of navigational system, for me anyway, something to move toward, something that gives me a sense of hope, I guess. And I think it does take some bravery to let go of that. But I think we all have that bravery. And I don't just mean everybody here in this Zendo. I mean everybody who's born onto this earth. It takes a great deal of bravery to come forth into this life without any map, without any real way of knowing how we're to survive, and then just go and do it. So I have great confidence that we can bring that, that each of us here have that bravery. And it seems to me that if we were to let go of those dreams, to let them be, to notice that they are just a fabrication along with so many others, that then what we are left with is what is, and that any outcome is okay. It is the next thing that is. It's not compared against anything else. It's just what arises. It seems to me that this is freedom, whether there's order or chaos, no matter what, unconditional. And I believe that we are all brave enough to find that.